thank you for praying. And it's exciting to see the Lord answer prayer. We know that he's aware of all the needs, and we can come to him and see things happen. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would turn there with me, please. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll begin reading at verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I'd like to focus on the last sentence there that is there in that chapter. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I'm sure many of you probably remember that when you were a child, you did something wrong, and your parents said, now, tell them you're sorry. Tell them you're sorry. And you maybe said you were sorry, and then the other party, tell them you'll forgive them, tell them you forgive them, and the other party forgives. And then we grew up, and we had children of our own, and something would happen in the family, and we would say the same thing. Tell them you're sorry, please forgive them. And you know, I wonder if unconsciously we established a pattern in the home and in the family, thinking we were doing the right thing when maybe we weren't doing the biblical thing. And so that's the challenge to my heart and to your heart tonight. It says that we're to forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. And I think sometimes we focus on conditional forgiveness and not unconditional forgiveness. There's a difference between the two, and I'll try to be clear on that as we go through the study of forgiveness. The subject of forgiveness is a key topic of the scriptures. It's a key topic of the very character of God. I want you to just look at a couple of verses with me. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And we'll see that this is something that is characteristic of God. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18. Numbers 14, 18, and the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. He's a God that's long-suffering, forgiving of iniquity and transgressions. So it's an element of his character. One of the elements of his character, for instance, he's holy. He's love. And we can say he is forgiving. Forgiving is an element of the very character of God. And it certainly involves the redemptive plan of mankind. We go to, and I'm just going to quote it, but we go to Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, and we read the Lord, one of the first things he said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's unconditional forgiveness. And then go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 13, speaking, I believe, of believer to believer, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, how did Christ forgive us? Well, we know that he didn't wait for us to say we're sorry. He went to Calvary's cross. It's exciting to know that my sins were totally forgiven, past, present, and future, over 2,000 years ago. Isn't that something? 2,000 years ago, God, through Christ Jesus, forgave all of my sins before I was even thought of. It's a wonderful thing to see the forgiveness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I would just challenge you. I'm just going to give you a little synopsis of the subject of forgiveness tonight, but I would challenge you to study it even further. It's not difficult for those of us that have computers and we can punch the right buttons. At least we try to punch the right buttons. And we can look at the searching of the word through scriptures. There's five words, only five words that you have to search on. Forgiveness, forgiving, forgive, forgiven, and forgave. And those five words capture the subject from Genesis to Revelation. It's a wonderful tracing of this principle through the Word of God. When you look at the Old Testament, you'll find that these verses occur some 50 times. When you go to the New Testament, which is just 1/8 of the 7/8, the Old Testament is 7/8 of the Word of God. The New Testament is the remaining 1/8 of the Word of God. And yet in that little short New Testament, 1/8 of Scripture, we find the subject of forgiveness dealt with over 66 times. And so it's a big subject. It's a key subject in the heart of God. When you look at the Hebrew language for the word forgiving in the Old Testament, it's a very interesting root word that it comes from. It means to lift off, to lift off. When we forgive, there's something wrong. There's something in between. There's something that needs to be dealt with. And when we forgive, it's like lifting it off, casting it aside, dealing with it. The lifting off. It's a beautiful picture, image. When you come to the New Testament, in the New Testament Greek, looking at the word forgiveness, sometimes you find it in the English, it's translated pardon. Sometimes it's translated cover, but the original root of the word means to send forth, similar to the Hebrew. Hebrew, lift away, the Greek in the New Testament, send it out, send it forth, in other words, get rid of it. And so you see there the effect of forgiveness, both for the one who has been offended and the one who is being forgiven. There is this lifting up, this sending off of the wrong that exists, and a wonderful sense of peace, a wonderful sense of blessing that floods into our hearts when we're willing to let go of an offense, let go of a wrongdoing, to lift it off, to send it away, to get it out of the way, to clear it out of our path, shall we say, in terms of relationships one with the other. The first time we find the word and the subject of forgiveness, it's in Genesis chapter 50. You might want to look there because that's sometimes a principle that we look at in studying the word of the God. Where is the first time that this occurs? And the context is the brothers of Joseph being fearful because of what they did to him and seeking to have that relationship restored and seeking forgiveness. And so we see they're saying in verse 17, "So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And we see later on, he says in verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save many people. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. I want to suggest that he had probably already exercised that spirit of forgiveness in his heart long before he uttered these words to them. And more than likely, he had a tender heart and a forgiving spirit as they came to him seeking to be forgiven. This was the character of Joseph, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see this is the first time that we find this subject of forgiveness in Scripture. Realizing there's something wrong, something's been done wrong, and realizing that there's a need for forgiveness, and also understanding that the person who was offended has a kind spirit and a tender heart. And he reveals to them that this was really of the hand of God, that God put them in this position, and that he was put there in Egypt to be the savior, not only of the Egyptians, but of the Israelites as well. And what a wonderful testimony we have in the life of Joseph, one who could forgive his brothers. When you think about it, what did his brothers do? Well, they mocked him, they ridiculed him every time he had a dream. Then they took him and threw him in a pit. Then they pretended that he was dead. They sold him to a caravan of traders going to Egypt. And then he was there for a short time in a good job, but somebody else messed him up, Potiphar's wife, and he was thrown in prison. And you can imagine all the things that he suffered. And yet he says, look, I hold nothing against you. There's no evil here. It was the hand of the Lord. It was all in his providence to bring it about as the way it occurred. And there's a beautiful spirit of forgiveness there that is seen. Sometimes judging and condemning interferes with our ability to offer forgiveness. Look with me at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And verse 37. Luke 6 and 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. I want to suggest that the element of judging one another and condemning one another often interferes with our ability to offer forgiveness to one another. We sometimes hold grudges. We sometimes imagine things that really didn't happen. We sometimes get a little exaggerated in the situation that may have occurred or didn't occur, and we enter into misunderstandings in terms of what actually happened and why it happened and the motives of one another. And so the Lord says, look, judge not. And he says, condemn not. And then he says, forgive. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And so we're to guard against those things that come into our relationship that we would tend to judge one another about, and we would desire to see that it wouldn't interfere. Forgiveness of sins is the ultimate goal of salvation, isn't it? That's what salvation is all about. He was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so the whole subject of Calvary, the whole subject of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message is a message of forgiveness, a message of knowing that at one time we were under the condemnation of God, and without Christ we were condemned and headed to eternal judgment. But with Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven, our names have been preserved in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're a child of God, accepted in the Beloved, and he has promised to remember our sins no more. It's not that he has a bad memory like us. He wills not to remember our sins no more. And so it's the ultimate, isn't it? It's the ultimate. Now, the ultimate example of forgiveness, I believe, is found in that portion we read, and we'll read it again, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Once again, Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so we see the standard for forgiving is the standard and the example that has been given to us by the Lord himself. And that's unconditional forgiveness, unconditional. Romans chapter 5 makes it very clear that when we were enemies, when we were aliens, when we were opposed to him, Christ died for us. His love was displayed to us sacrificially when we were just rebels, contrary to him in every aspect of life. And yet we see that unconditional forgiveness came about. But then we have another form of forgiveness. And this is where we struggle a little bit when we start to look at both conditions. There is such a thing as unconditional forgiveness. And the example of it is the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've just read there in Colossians 3:13. But then there is another subject of forgiveness, and it deals with our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that fellowship is conditional. It's not unconditional. It's conditional. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not dealing with salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has everything to do with our fellowship as a believer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin comes into that relationship. It doesn't change my birth, spiritual birth of being a child of God. It only changes the fellowship that we have between each other. I sometimes use the illustration. I have one son. I usually use my son as the example and not the three daughters. I don't know why I do that. But there are times when my son did something that displeased me. It was wrong. And at that time, our fellowship was broken. Now, he is still my son, still bore my name, and I couldn't release my identification with him. But our fellowship was broken, and that fellowship had to be restored through a process of confession and forgiveness. And that's the difference. We have conditional and unconditional. Unconditional is to the example of God the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ when he brought us into the family. It's salvation, it's the gospel. But then once there is this conditional forgiveness that exists to restore fellowship when fellowship is broken. Now, this is where we struggle as Christians. This is where we struggle and we say, well, when should I forgive? What has to happen before I forgive this brother or sister in the Lord? And I've met good Bible teachers and good, dear, beloved brothers in Christ on both sides of this coin. And so there's no clear answer here, but I am going to give you some assistance that I hope will help you decide what is right in terms of how we're to forgive. But I've met some brothers that will say, well, you know, he wronged me, he did what was wrong, and when he comes to me and asks for forgiveness, kind of like I want to see him crawling down on his hands and knees and bowing at my feet and saying, I'm sorry, then I'll forgive him. And then you have other believers, preachers, theologians, Bible students that say, no, we're to forgive. We're to forgive not requiring confession, but to forgive as Christ forgave. And of course, the example is there. And so you have these two examples, the example in the gospel and the example in fellowship. One is unconditional, one is conditional. And because we have these two situations, as believers, sometimes we struggle in terms of how to apply it. What's the way to apply our forgiveness to other people? It's not an easy question. It's not an easy subject. But let me just try to give some suggestions in terms of how we work our way through this. These two views, how do we forgive one another? Forgive prior to confession or repentance, or forgive after we receive confession and repentance. One's conditional, one's unconditional. Well, I want to suggest, first of all, that we have three options. There are three options that we can use in these situations. And I just want to go over them. This is somewhat a little repetitive, but I just want to speak about it with a little bit more clarity and a little bit more detail. The first option we have in dealing with forgiveness of other people is an unconditional spirit. To forgive no matter what. To forgive no matter what the quarrel. And isn't that interesting that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, it seems to be dealing with believer to believer and a quarrel that exists between those two believers. And he says again, forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any. So that's the setting. Here's two believers. One believer has a quarrel against another believer. And he goes on to say, if any man has that quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, that's unconditional. And yet some would interpret it as, well, for fellowship, it's conditional. And so they struggle there. And so we have to really just say, okay, how do I want to forgive this brother? And I'm going to give you some thoughts with regard to how we do it in just a moment and the benefits of doing it one way versus doing it another way in just a minute. But the first option we have, no matter what the subject, no matter what the offense, no matter what the condition, Father, forgive them. They've just driven nails in his hands. They've just erected him on a cross. They've been mocking him and ridiculing him and making fun of him. They just scourged him with a Roman lash. They forced him to carry his cross to the hill. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't think any of us will have that kind of a quarrel with another brother or sister. We'll probably never experience that kind of difficulty between one another. But the Lord's example was to forgive unconditionally. And so the subject of unconditional forgiveness is a spirit that does not anticipate or expect any response. When we forgive unconditionally, it's a total forgiveness. And we let it go, just like the Hebrew. We lift it up, like the Greek. We send it away. We deal with it in our heart, and we forgive. And it's taken care of. Now, there's a second option. This second option is maybe a little bit more easy to handle as believers, and that is that we forgive in our heart our feelings are offended our feelings are hurt. And so we have hurt feelings, and our heart many times sort of holds on to these feelings. And our option is to let them go, to forgive in our heart privately, just between us and God, okay? And then await an apology, await a confession by the other brother, sister that was offended, and then be able to publicly grant that forgiveness. But the key is that you've already forgiven in your heart. In your heart, you've already forgiven that brother or sister privately, so you've lifted it off, you've given it to the Lord. If they come to you and apologize, then publicly you offer that forgiveness as well. And there's a verse in Matthew chapter 18 that gives a little hint to this. There are many parables. It's a neat thing to see the parables in the Gospels and to see the number of times that the issue of forgiveness is dealt with in these parables. A lot of parables that bring in the issue of forgiveness in the story. And this is a parable that starts, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it begins in verse 23 of Matthew 18 and goes through verse 35. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. And I think most of you are familiar with that, where a servant is forgiven, and then he turns around and demands payment from others that owe him. It's brought to the man's attention. And verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him into the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, listen to this, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. From their hearts. And so I think there's that situation where maybe we're not interacting publicly, but from our heart we've really dealt with it. And we've really forgiven. We've really turned it over and allowed the Lord to handle it. Now the third option is this, and that we forgive only after a confession or an apology of wrongdoing is rendered by the offending party. In other words, we don't give any forgiveness, nothing in our heart, nothing publicly, until the other person comes to us and apologizes, and then we offer forgiveness. That may take a lifetime, that may never occur. It's kind of sad to see that some of the offenses that exist between brothers and sisters in the church will never be resolved in this life. In heaven, God will deal with them. They will be resolved. But it's sad to see that some of the offenses, some of the divisions, some of the hard feelings, the grudges that we hold have never been settled in this life. And that's because they chose option three. Now, I want you to hold those three options in your mind. I'm going to repeat them again. The first one is unconditional, no response anticipated. The second one is you forgive in your heart, but then publicly you wait till there's an apology. And then thirdly, there's no forgiveness whatsoever until they come and confess their wrong and apologize. Now, thinking about those three options, thinking that those are the three things we could do, I want you to answer these questions. In your mind, I want you to think through these different questions. There's three questions. The first one is this. Which one of the three options is most like the character of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Which one of the three options is most like the character of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? The second question I want you to think about in regard to this, and I'm speaking to myself here. I hope you think I'm not preaching at you. I deal with this a lot, and I'm actually dealing with this in real time with some situations that are in my life that I'm struggling with, and that's why I got into this subject. And so please don't think you're being preached at. You're really being shared some things that I'm dealing with in my own heart and in my own life. But the second thing I want you to think about is, which one of the three options offers the greatest measure of peace to your own heart? Which one of those three options affords you the greatest measure of peace to your own heart? And then the third question with regard to these three options is this. Which one tends to foster grudges, bitterness, false judgment toward the offending party? Which one tends to foster grudges, bitterness, false judgment toward the offending party? And so those are three questions that are good to ask when you're debating over what option am I going to apply in this situation. And again, I started out by saying I don't have the answers. A lot of good Bible teachers are on both sides of this coin. But I've come to this place of saying, okay, this is how I resolve it. This is how I deal with it. And maybe it'll be of help to you as well. William MacDonald, in his commentary on Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, said this. How did Christ forgive us? He forgave us without a cause. So should we. He forgave us freely. So should we. He forgave and he forgot. So should we. But as to the manner and the extent, we should follow our blessed Lord in this wonderful attitude. And I think that's helpful. That's helpful as we seek to know exactly what to do. One last thought on this whole subject of forgiveness. And that is that forgiveness and forgiving and loving are two attitudes that I don't think are separated. They're inseparable. When we are forgiving, we are doing it because we love. And if we're loving, we're willing to forgive. Loving and forgiving are sort of blended together with the spirit of doing the right thing. And so you have this relationship of the loving spirit and the forgiving spirit. And it's interesting in 1 John, it talks about how we're to have the love of Christ in us, and that the love of Christ demonstrates the profession of faith that we do have in him. And it also says that we love him because he first loved us. Maybe we could say we forgive because he first forgave us. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I won't turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 13, 5, it gives us that beautiful long description of what is loving and how to love. And one of the things that it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, keeps no record of being wrong. Keeps no record of being wrong. Apply that spirit of love to the three options that we dealt with a moment ago. Keeps no record of what was wrong. And so there are principles. There are principles in Scripture that we apply, and principles that we can use to be more Christ-like. As he forgave, we can forgive. And to give in a way that shows that we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. I read from Ephesians, and I meant to do this, so believe me, I am ending. But in Ephesians chapter, I'll read verse 32, it says, and be ye kind, Ephesians 4:32, but be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verse 1 of chapter 5, be ye therefore, in other words, in light of what we just read, in light of the spirit of forgiveness that we should have that is like the forgiveness and love that Christ had for us, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Some translators have it, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. And so may this encourage us to search our own hearts, to see if there's things in our life, in our relationship with other brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ that need to be dealt with. As the Hebrew says, lift it off. As the Greek says, send it away. And in doing so, your peace will flood your heart. And I believe there'll be blessing there for you as you follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just confess before you that so often we're hesitant. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's trying to defend ourselves. Maybe it's judging others inappropriately. Whatever the case might be, we're very stingy on forgiving. Very stingy. Lord, help us to forgive freely. To forgive freely, to forgive as you have forgiven, and to be willing to give that forgiveness in such a way that it would restore the relationship, it would calm our own heart, and it would be that would honor the Lord and the example that he's given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.